Listeners, did you know each year Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's? This year, let's turn our New Year's resolution into actions that make a difference by switching to Blue Land. An estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. It's a lose-lose situation for us and the planet. But Blue Land has made it their mission to do something about it. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Refills start at just $2.25. Tab and I are loving Blue Land. We love how great the products work and smell, and the space saving from just having refillable tablets to store instead of bulky bottles is great. Also, we love having it shipped to our doors. It's so convenient and just one less thing to think about at the grocery store. And hello, Blue Land saves you money and helps the planet. What is not to love about that? Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are housewives of true crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
In the hizzy.
In the hizzy. Okay, so we are 1 week into school for you. Well, actually a couple days.
And 3 days.
My kid doesn't even start school until next week, or this week, actually. I guess a couple days from when you're listening to this. And it's balls to the walls to only have one home. I was just telling Gretchen, it's no bueno.
No, it's such a tease.
It is. It really is. I had PTO meeting today. I had to find babysitting. I mean, ugh.
Yeah. It's, yeah, we need to get them all shipped off. Yeah, I got teased today, too. They told me they were going to come and take down this ginormous tree in front of my house.
Oh,
no,
gosh.
No showy uppy.
You even had the Germans move the car.
I did.
I know.
I got all the neighbors excited. I thought we would all just stand out there and watch the tree come down. I thought it was going to be real exciting. I told the kids about it. I told them I was going to videotape it so they could watch it after school.
No, didn't happen.
No cummy downy.
Let me show you this fun mug that I'm drinking out of. Mm-hmm. You see it?
Yeah.
Guess where it's from?
Where?
Magnolia in Waco.
Oh.
You get iced tea in this thing.
Yeah,
and
cute.
It's so cute, isn't it? Okay, I have to tell you something that happened to me in Texas yesterday.
Do tell.
I was coming out of Dave & Buster's, mm-hmm. and I looked at my girlfriend's hair. I don't think I told you this. Did I tell you about this the hair standing straight up?
No.
Okay, so her hair is standing straight up. And then like I look at Colton's
Mary?
Hair. What?
No.
Something about Mary. No, like you just put a balloon and rubbed
on
it against
her
hair.
Okay, she has like, static in her hair. Uh-huh.
Yes. And Colton's hair is standing straight up.
Yeah.
And my hair. And then she's like, oh my God, your hair is standing straight up. So we are like, holy cow, I'm taking pictures. I think it's just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Who. Yeah.
Yeah. And the clouds are pretty dark, and I told you there was thunderstorms, so I ended up looking it up online, and it says, if your hair is standing straight up and there are thunderstorms in the area, you are about to get struck by lightning, like in big, black, bold letters. Like, don't fucking do that, ever.
Well, I'm glad you took cover in the Dave and Buster's.
Listen.
From your near-death experience.
I was the idiot taking pictures, which then after I read this whole story about these idiots taking pictures, thinking the same things, and then they got struck by lightning and died.
Well, I'm sure if you read that on the internet, it's true. 100%.
It was on Daily Mail also.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty legit source.
Yeah. Okay.
So if anybody doesn't know, I'm sure everybody in Texas knows that. Don't, you know, think it's real funny that your hair is standing on end. But now you know, if you didn't know before.
All right. Dude, I'm thinking about going to Dave and Buster's. I think I'm breaking up with Chuck E. Cheese.
I think Dave and Buster's so fun. On Tuesdays, I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's half price games.
Here it's Wednesdays.
Oh,
I haven't been.
I just examined
the website.
Yesterday was Wednesday. Okay, it was yesterday. Yeah. Okay. Wednesday is half price games. That's when I went.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. Listen, something pretty bananas happened in my hood. I follow like all the local sheriff's departments, you know?
Yeah.
On Facebook, which I recommend everybody does.
Yeah, it is a good thing to do.
It is a good thing to do because the police, they give you information what's going on. If there's a bunch of, you know, car robberies or, you know, like whatever, you need to stay in the loop.
Right.
So, and you know, it's good tea. So, they just casually posted that someone was waving a gun in front of a school in my area. And,
bananas.
I thought that's weird. That's like not even on. Anyways, they apprehended the suspect and he did in fact have a loaded gun on him. That's what the post said. And I thought, that's weird. That's like not even on the news. I mean, that is a big deal to me, right?
And it's true.
Yeah, and it's true. So today there was a sheriff standing outside of my kid's school handing out little sheriff stickers.
Oh.
So I, you know, walked my kids up to the front. And then on the way back, I was like, hey, dude, I follow you on Facebook.
Happened?
What's up with this? What school was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know. I try to stay off social media. I was like, is it just me or was that not a big deal? Like, that's not like water cooler cop talk? I feel like that's a big one.
He knows. He just doesn't want to say.
He didn't know.
You don't think he knew?
I don't think he knew.
I mean, what an idiot.
Which is like, if that's not water cooler cop talk, then what other shady shit is going on that's not a big enough deal to like gossip about?
Yeah, right. I feel like he knew. He just didn't want to tell you.
No, he was a very nice officer, actually. I was impressed.
Your makeup looks damn good today.
It does?
It does. Thanks. Yeah, it really does. Are you ready to hear a crime today?
You know it. You know it.
Okay, Gretchy. This case comes from all over the world. Upstate New York, San Francisco, Sin City, Las Vegas, Miami, the Caribbean, all the way to Amsterdam and back.
Whoa.
So, I'm going to start in New York.
Okay.
A beautiful little girl was born to two parents that they probably would admit were not ready to raise a child. Heather Tallchief was born January 7th, 1972, to a Native American father, hence her last name, and an American-Italian mother, And together, these two really created one little disco biscuit.
I was going to say, that sounds like a beautiful combination.
Dude, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it is. It was. It is. Her mother, unfortunately, left her and the family when Heather was just a couple years old, and her dad, Frank, stayed to raise her. Frank, by his own admission, was a drug addict, sniffing glue and downing alcohol. So taking care of little Heather probably wasn't his best attribute.
What is sniffing glue?
I heard an interview with him, like, he sniffed glue. I guess you sniff glue, like paint shit, you know, like the fumes.
That's called huffing.
Huffing. Sure. Okay.
But you don't do it with glue.
Well, he did it with glue, he said. And then he didn't like the taste of alcohol, so then he would down alcohol after he sniffed glue, and then it didn't taste as bad. I don't know. This shit is not up my alley at all. I mean, I like the smell of gasoline, but I don't sit at the gas station.
That is so weird. You always say that. That is super weird.
You don't like the smell of gasoline?
Okay. It is a thing. I thought you were cracked. I looked it up.
Sniffing glue?
People sniff glue. I don't know. That's just a side hobby I wasn't aware of. Okay. I just had to verify. I mean, I didn't want us to go down the, like, you know, comptroller.
Yeah. Comptroller. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It is
so
a thing.
He's sniffing the glue.
He's sniffing the glue and drinking the alcohol.
Okay.
And not taking care of Heather. But he is finding other women to take care of, because he ended up marrying somebody else who ended up being Heather's stepmother, who also did not treat Heather very kindly. And once she had her own kids, you know, Heather was a second-class citizen in the family.
I hate that.
I hate it too. Yeah. I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah.
Although her siblings really loved her, and her little sister especially, she felt as if she was a burden to the family and not really loved. As soon as Heather was old enough to get the heck out of Dodge, she did. And she found herself all the way across the country into San Francisco, California. In San Francisco, Heather got a job as a certified nurse's assistant at an AIDS hospital. And this is in the early 90s, okay?
Okay.
So Heather worked with terminally ill patients, usually on their last days of life, and she had a real care for people. I see sometimes people that are in situations where their early life wasn't so good, they care for people a lot in their adult life. You notice that?
Yeah, I think that that's true often.
Yeah. I mean, not always, but I have this feeling that Heather kind of did that.
Yeah, it seems to, if you had it like some kind of bad childhood, it seems to swing one way or the other. You either become like abusive or completely the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So she had a real care for people. She enjoyed taking care of them, and she really worked with like the sick and dying. So although she was doing well in her job and felt needed and wanted, which I think is what she was lacking as a child, it didn't pull her out of her own addictions. Just as her life felt like it was spiraling out of control because she was young and doing drugs at the age of 20 years old, by the time she was 21, she had lost the nursing job, and she had met a man while she was hanging out at a bar in San Francisco, an older man, actually. She found him attractive, and he, of course, found Heather attractive and a little wild. He bought her a drink, and hook, line, and sinker, she was smitten. This man's name was Roberto Solis. But he introduced himself as Julius Suave.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So his real name is Roberto Solis. Okay.
Yeah.
He meets Heather at a bar, mm-hmm. but he introduces himself as Julius.
Oh, Julius. I thought you said Julia.
No, Julius.
Julius.
Julius,
okay.
Suave. Or okay. Suave. S-U-E-V-E. Okay.
Suave is awesome.
I mean, cool name. Yeah. Roberto, I'm going to refer to him because that's his real name, was 27 years older than Heather. But he had this way about him that Heather immediately was intrigued. He was into black magic, tarot reading cards, very spiritual guy. Right away, Roberto read Heather her cards and showed her the more spiritual side of herself. He also practiced this thing called sex magic. You ever heard of it?
No.
So I had not heard of it either, so I had to look it up. And it actually was started in the 1900s, like the early 1900s. And I found an article. I found a few articles, but I found this one in particular article that kind of laid it out in Teen Vogue, dated April 2019. It gives a pretty good dive into sex magic. And first of all, I will tell you, it freaked me out that I found this in a magazine for teenagers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm pretty sure I never read stuff like this as a teenager. You know, in the Cosmos, or I don't know. I mean, I guess Cosmo has some sex stuff, but Teen Vogue, really?
Yeah.
Sex magic?
Well, I don't know if I'm reacting to this. You got to tell me what it is.
Okay. So basically it says through orgasms, you create energy and you use that energy to gather your goals or things or something that you want. So like, say you want a raise from your job, you need some more money. You think about it. Then you have an orgasm and think about it while you're having an orgasm. And then, bam, you get a raise the next day. Okay.
Okay. I don't think a lot of teenagers are having orgasms.
I don't think so either.
I mean, teenage and girls. Just saying.
I don't.
So.
In this article also, it talked about like doing it yourself. I don't know. It was just a little too much for a teenager for me, per se. I don't think I'm going to be letting my kid read that magazine as a teenager. Just saying. I think that, I don't know. I mean, basically it's you have some sex, the energy comes out, and you create your own destiny by these orgasms.
Shit. I'm open to it. Maybe that's what I've been doing wrong.
I think that it was made up by a bunch of people that just wanted to get off more often.
Yeah, whatever.
And this is what I call the art of persuasion. So I just want to thank Dr. Marston.
Maybe I'll get myself a boat. I've been wanting one for a
seriously,
while.
Seriously, dude, you should start doing that. I think it's
worth a shot.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyways, Roberto was very into sex magic, okay?
Okay.
Roberto is reading cards and performing sex magic, and Heather is head over heels for this guy. He makes her feel like a queen, and that's something that she really never felt before. So she was immediately putty in his hands. Whatever Roberto wanted to do, Heather wanted to do too. Roberto was living in San Francisco as well, but thought that Sin City might be a better direction for him and her. And so they took off to Las Vegas. Roberto is a pretty smart guy. He thinks that he can become a professional gambler. But I think you and I know that doesn't really work out so well.
I think it works out for like a handful of people. And that's it.
Dude. Yeah, it's a very few handful. And unless you have a lot of money to go in,
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
And they're like on the like professional poker tour.
That really works out.
I could never be married to a professional gambler.
No way. No way.
I check my bank account every mofo day. I need to know. Yes, I do. Like when I'm checking emails. Mm-hmm. Check my credit. I know where all my business is happening.
You're amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Like that. So that gambling thing, watching a big droop.
Yeah,
nope,
that would
not for me.
That would probably cause you anxiety.
Listen.
Well,
you don't want to be Erica Jane. Check your shit.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So their money was dwindling and they needed to get jobs. But the problem was that Roberto getting a job, not so much, because Roberto was actually a convicted felon. Mm. And, you know, those background checks probably don't check out so well with this guy, especially since he's going by aliases as well.
Yeah.
Roberto did tell Heather about his past. He told her that when he was younger, he made a huge mistake and accidentally killed a guy while he was trying to rob him. While that is true, he did kill a guy. I don't think it was by accident. What actually happened was Roberto went to rob an armored truck at Woolworth's parking lot. And when the guy came out with no money, Roberto got pretty pissed. And when the guy turned around, he shot him and killed him.
Oh, that's ruthless.
This guy that he killed, his name was Luis Drake. And Roberto spent almost 20 years in prison. In those 20 years, Roberto became a poet, an acclaimed poet, a published poet by the name of Pancho Aguila.
Did people know he was in prison? Because I feel like that helps sell your poetry.
Yes, they did know he was in prison. He was actually the chairman of the Writers League in the Folsom prison.
Ooh.
The poems that he wrote were political and deep, and lots of people were real fond of Pancho. I think Pancho might have been like his alter ego. So although Roberto was sentenced to a natural life in prison, these artists wrote into the parole board on Roberto's behalf to get him released early because they were like, this guy is reformed. He's not who he went in as, you know, he's like now Pancho and he's amazing.
Okay.
And the parole board believed it. So in 1992, they released him. But he didn't stay out of prison long. He immediately got caught selling drugs, went back into prison, but then was released pretty quickly after that. So, dude, I'm like, don't you like, I thought you get out of prison and if you're on parole and you get something done, like you go back for a long time. But this guy's a pretty lucky murderer, I will say.
It is pretty maddening, though, that it's like these prisoners end up turning to drugs or like whatever because they can't get a job. We need to work on that.
Right. Okay.
Although there is something, let me tell you, because I watched The Love After Lockup, there is something to the fact that sometimes there are people you can hand them every opportunity in the world post-prison, and they're already...
They're career criminals. It's not
they
like,
are, yeah,
is
they,
that what you mean?
They're already, like, they can't get away from it. They get high off the adrenaline of committing criminal activity, and so they just resort back to it. It sucks. Yeah.
Listen, if I was in prison for 20 years and I got out because these people love my poetry, maybe I would stick to poetry. Just saying.
Yeah.
So Heather knew about this guy's past somewhat, right? She knew he killed somebody. She knew he spent 20 years in prison. But I think his spirituality and his Latin lover persuasion and the way he treated her, she didn't care. And she kind of liked that he was a wild card. I mean, I remember being 21 and having a little wild side too. I wouldn't have dated a convicted murderer, but I see her being so young and naive and not really totally understanding, right? He's probably read her poetry too and just like, woo-woo-woo. Roberto wasn't the hardworking type, but he knew that Heather was. So he found her a job instead of him. He had Heather apply for a armored security driver at Loomis, the very same company that he had robbed 20 years before, the very same company that he blamed for putting him in prison for 20 years. Heather had a squeaky clean record. She was a nurse's assistant, worked with the dying patients. She was young and she was real pretty. So she got the job and she got promoted very quickly. At first, she just drove around notes from like casino to casino. And then she got promoted to driving around a whole lot of cash.
Yeah.
While she's driving a whole lot of cash from casino to casino, Roberto is following her every move. This guy was no dummy, and he was not reformed. He is a mastermind and a master criminal.
He probably thought about that all those years he was sitting in the clink.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he did. So after some thought, Roberto made a plan. He and Heather, they went and rented a warehouse garage space where she told the owner that they did armor vehicle repair. They made a big fake sign for their business. They made business cards with the names Nicole Rieger and Joseph Panura. And these two made a plan to rob all the money in Heather's armored vehicle. And although Heather claims she would do whatever Roberto said and has made it now seem like Roberto would have harmed her if she didn't, I think it's maybe possible that Heather kind of wanted to do it also.
Well, she knew what she was doing if she got the, you know, she got the job.
She got the job.
At his encouragement. Yeah, come on.
She was the one that rented the warehouse.
And you said she's a drug user, correct?
She was. I'm sure. Like, I'm thinking they probably had to do drug tests after the to get that job, though.
I don't know.
It was
the 90s?
I don't know. The 90s.
I bet those drug tests didn't include glue because, oh, that was her dad.
That was her dad.
Because, you know, there's only like certain drugs on the screening.
I know. And I, you know, I think she did meth, if I recall what I was reading. So I don't know. I mean, I know she did drugs in the past. I don't know how, if she was still doing coke or what, methamphetamines. I don't know. She was carrying a gun. She was driving in an armored vehicle. I would hope that they do drug tests on those people, but I don't know. And she was driving around over $3 million, Gretchy. So I cannot imagine the anticipation to actually pull this off, where you're going to rob millions of dollars from your employer. But I can also think that it's probably quite thrilling, right? Like the adrenaline rush to do something like that is probably pretty high.
I mean, so I imagine for some people it is a high. I mean, I would just get diarrhea.
I can only equate it to like riding on a roller coaster to me, because you know when you're going up that like click 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 click.
Oh,
click,
I hate
click,
that. Click. I hate that part.
It is like you have so much anxiety, or I do at least. Like yeah, I want to have diarrhea at that part. I feel sometimes like I'm gonna have a damn heart attack.
Yeah.
And then you finally get to the top and you start going down, and then your stomach drops and you're like, holy shit. Then you kind of like level out and you live and you're like, that was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of how I feel. Like she, on October 1st, 1993, probably got in her car and she's feeling like she's going up that ramp. And then as soon as she gets done, it's like, woo, I don't know. That's just how I'm thinking about it. But anyways, on October 1st, 1993, Heather and her two co-workers, she drove around with two other guys in the car. They pulled up to Circus Casino, like any other day leading up to a big weekend. Heather's job was to drop the two guys off where they would service an ATM. She would pull her vehicle to the back of Circus Circus, where she would pick those two guys up and then go on to the next casino. But this particular day, Heather drove away with all the money, leaving her two coworkers wondering what the heck happened to her.
Oh my gosh.
The two guys actually thought that she got lost. They said she's kind of ditz and not like the best driver. But after time went on and they were just standing there twiddling their thumbs, they finally got a little bit worried and thought Heather probably got robbed herself, kidnapped, taken, and even murdered. But as we know, that is not what happened. Heather drove straight to the warehouse where she met Roberto, and they started unpacking $3.1 million. They filled boxes, like big boxes, with cash, a couple suitcases. Roberto quickly took those boxes and shipped them to an address in Miami. And they carried just a couple of suitcases filled with cash. There was some that they could not fit into what they needed, so they left behind a few thousand dollars in just dollar bills. Heather quickly changed into an old lady outfit with a gray wig, like an Afghan, and a wheelchair. And Roberto dressed as a doctor, and they headed to the private airport where they boarded a plane to Denver.
It's so Ocean's 11, except it's like Ocean's 2.
Right. So they actually did a test run just weeks before where she was the nurse and Roberto was the patient on a private flight, so they could see if like it would, if it all would work out.
Yeah.
But they knew that she knew that they would be looking for her because it was her vehicle. And so she had to disguise herself, and they did it. They made it. They made their escape. By the time they were already wheels up fleeing Vegas, the police and the FBI were just getting word of this armored truck being gone. And what they thought was Heather got hijacked and she was the one in danger.
Yeah. Where was the armored truck parked? Where'd they leave it?
In that warehouse that they rented that was like the fake armored vehicle repair.
Oh, yeah.
They did that because they were like, if anybody sees an armored vehicle pulling in here, nobody's going to think twice about it because that's what we do. We reinforce steel or something. I mean, they're pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very well thought out.
Yeah. So the FBI starts looking fiercely and they immediately search her apartment. They didn't take much, right? They were out of there with like two suitcases of cash, not any clothes or anything like that, maybe a couple outfits. But so the apartment didn't look disheveled or empty. Their whole sacramental voodoo shit was still there. And sorry if that is offensive to anybody. I'm sorry. It's not meant to be offensive, okay? If you're into sex magic, go you. She did leave a little note for her biological mother that said goodbye. It said something like, I most likely will never see you again, but don't fret. We were never really friends anyways.
Oh,
because I think
that's
she
a stinger.
Did. I know it is. And I think she had kind of gotten in touch with her mom in California. And I'm thinking it didn't kind of probably go the way that she thought it was going to go. So. They did think that there was some strange stuff in there, but they didn't even know at first that she was with Roberto. It took a while to piece everything together because he wasn't going by the name Roberto Solis, you know?
Right.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because Trust and Will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
As FBI started interviewing people, they got info that the two were on their way to California and then to Mexico. They gave someone some forwarding address to San Diego, where they said if anything came there for them, they could mail it there. They talked about Mexico to a few people, and they had some brochures of Mexico in their apartment. But other than that, they were real private people, and they weren't in Vegas very long, so nobody really knew anything about them. Yeah. Even her coworkers that she was like with every single day said, she asked a lot of questions about them, but they don't really know anything about her. And it took 2 weeks for them to find that Loomis vehicle. The owner, and it only happened when the owner of the warehouse. Yeah, isn't that crazy? The owner of the warehouse went and said that he was like, I haven't seen those tenants for a while. So he went to go check the place and he saw the truck that he's been seeing on the news. So he called authorities, and sure enough, there it was, and they pulled some fingerprints, and Roberto's fingerprints popped right up, and they knew it was a big job planned and executed. The FBI tried real hard to find them, but they were always kind of one step ahead of them. They did figure out that they went to Miami and not to Mexico. That was just like a distraction. They had IDs, new names, new digs, and Roberto and Heather were free with a shit ton of money. But Gretchy, are you really free when you run from the FBI?
No,
I don't think so. They traveled around. She changed her appearance. She had to have a real low profile because, dude, people were looking for her. Roberto actually kept her pretty holed up while he went shopping, found stuff, did all the like things. She was kind of kept inside. And after Roberto got all that money, he also started getting more women. Seemed his queen had given up her crown real quick, and she was kind of lower on his totem pole, if you know what I mean. So Heather got pregnant with Roberto's baby.
Oh my gosh.
And even that did not keep Roberto in love with Heather. So she quickly realizes that he doesn't love her. and all the money in the world doesn't really matter. She was alone with the baby. Baby daddy's having other women. And so guess what Heather does?
What?
She leaves his ass. Okay. Because she's pretty used to leaving people. You know, she's done it before. So she flees to Amsterdam with her baby. She takes a little bit of money, but not much. I mean, what she says, and I believe her, is that she just wanted out, you know? And so she took enough to get herself to Amsterdam and have something for a minute, but and probably pay for this passport she got, because she did obtain a passport from a British citizen and a baby passport for her son. And Heather became Donna and her baby became Dylan. She needed money, so she turned to sex working for a while. And then she became a hotel maid. Not much is known about her life in Amsterdam other than she found a man who raised Dylan as his own, loved Heather, took care of their family. But as her passport was coming to expire 10 years after they got it, she started freaking out. So she was not living like a free woman at all. She was always looking over her back because she was on the FBI's most wanted list and she was the number one woman they were looking for.
Yeah.
She was on like that show looking for her.
Yeah.
So the anxiety, I think, wore on her, and Heather did, in my opinion, the unthinkable, especially having a 10-year-old child. She contacted an attorney in the U.S. that dealt with cases like hers or somewhat like hers, and she made her way home. She left her son to be raised by this guy that she met in Amsterdam. And on September 12, 2005, Heather turned herself in. She was remorseful, but she also claims that Roberto brainwashed her with his sex magic and that he hypnotized her in her sleep by playing weird shit while she slept. Her defense claimed that Roberto knew from the moment that he met her that she was putty in his hands, and I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
I think she knew what she was doing. I think she was vulnerable. Do I think she deserves to be in prison for 50 plus years? Do you think?
Well, I do think she needs to serve time. I mean, being manipulated is not a defense in like my book.
So the prosecution did not think that she needed to be in jail for that long. They only charged her for one count of bank embezzlement, one count of credit union embezzlement, and one count of possession of a fraudulent obtained passport, which resulted in the maximum sentence of 63 months in prison. And that's what she got. She pled guilty to those three. And she was also ordered to pay Loomis back and restitution for basically the rest of her life, or until
she's gonna do that,
until she comes up with $3 million. Actually, it's like 2.9 something. How is she gonna do that? Well, her first payments came from a couple of interviews that she did with the media right away in like 2005. She was released from prison in 2010, so she only served 5 years of that sentence. She has only done, like, she did Dateline, okay? And I think that's where she got some money, but you cannot find this girl anywhere. Like, she really is a master in disguise.
She's got to write a book.
I know, so.
Make some money.
She should.
Sell the life rights. So there's a movie. It's a good one.
So the reason I know about this is because there is a Netflix called Heist. Okay. It's a show. And she is the first person that they talk about on the show. And I found it fascinating because it's like so up our alley, right?
Yeah.
And I find her fascinating. And I find this whole story crazy bananas because she was 21 years old. And then she came back and she's still only in her 40s, dude. So
yeah,
she's still young. You know, she's not old. Her son is 19, I think, or 20 now. Just graduated college. I can't find any of them. I know this because of this Netflix special. The Netflix special is pretty good. I found a lot of additional details, but basically what they do is they retell the Dateline and her talking on Dateline verbatim, but they play it with actors. So the person that talks as her is an actor pretending to be her. And then they have a whole cast of actors, but they have two other actors acting as her as a young person and Roberto doing all the stuff. It's pretty cool. Like I enjoyed it. If you guys want to watch it.
What gives with Roberto? What happened to him?
Dude, okay. So Roberto has never been found.
No.
Never. And he would be 75. Mm-hmm. I think that he's probably living in Spain or Portugal, living his best life with the rest of the money. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you could. He would fit in perfectly there. Nobody would think anything as long as, you know, I mean, you probably don't even need a passport. Who knows? Like I said, her son graduated high school. I'm sure he's got to be thinking like, what the hell? My name is not even Dylan. My mom did what?
Yeah.
My dad is who?
Yeah.
It's got to be bananas.
That's nuts. That's
the story of Heather Tallchief.
Okay. Heather Tallchief.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where she is. Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay. She did have to do, I think, 5 more years of probation or whatever after she got out. So that's till 2015. So, no.
Okay.
Sure.
So is that a WAP?
That's a WAP. That's a WAP at a WAP do. You guys, thank you for all of your reviews. I see some coming in. That's really nice on Apple. Thank you so much. If you guys want to follow us on Instagram, we would really like it. Also, our Facebook group and our keto.
Patreon. Patreon is where it's on.
What is it? Oh, Patreon. Yes, I actually just listened to our Patreon episode this morning. I really enjoyed it. I love listening myself. Just kidding.
So funny.
patreon.com/housewives of true crime. Gretchen is giving a bonus crime this week on Kasem.
Yeah, Casey Kasem.
So that'll be
interesting. Certainly worth a listen. I have found some stuff that is not super available.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. And I know you have to pick up your kids right this second. So I'm going to clink, clink, and I will talk to you later.
Okay, later. Going to the carpool line. Just like the intro.
Oh, talking crime in the carpool line. Thank God we have carpool lines again.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.